Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and I have a really dear friend of mine with us today. This is Brian Cordova, and Brian Cordova is one of those people that kind of knows a little bit about everything. And Brian has been in poodles, he's been in the purebred dog sport for a long, long time. So Brian's going to tell us all about how long, aren't you, Brian?
I will share.
So give us the 411. When did you get your first dog and why and how did you get started?
Well, I'll tell you, I got started. My family had purebred beagles when I was very, very young. And we acquired an AKC registered, those are quotation marks that you can't see, bitch that we purchased that was reasonably well-bred. And we bred her to a dog called Joe Cool, who was a champion, but he was an AKC champion in Colorado. And I remember that we went and bred our young bitch to this dog in this woman's kitchen on the day after New Year's. And her name was Stacy Starr II, and she had four puppies. So my brother and sister and I each kept a puppy, and from that litter, we finished two. But before we finished their AKC championships, my brother and I took them to puppy matches with homemade crates.
Right.
And I met people. And I just kept going. I knew I loved the sport and I was completely enthralled and I just continued to meet people. And so that was, I'm going to say, mid-70s.
Yeah.
That was the start.
Yeah.
Then my brother and I eventually decided we wanted to have some Shih Tzus. And before I was out of high school, we had purchased three Shih Tzus and a drop pen. And we made a stab at showing some more dogs, and I just kept going.
And I'm talking to you on the sort of eve of Poodle Club of America.
Right.
And you have been attending PCA for longer than some of the people who will be there have been alive, but not as long as everybody else. So PCA is a bucket list item for me. And so I am hoping you will talk to us and give us all the kind of inside skinny on PCA and why everyone, whether you own a poodle or not, should go.
Well, this will be the third venue that Poodle Club of America has had since I've been interested in attending. It's always been in April, but it was super, super hot, 100 degrees. So we were there. Then we moved to Upper Marlboro, and then we moved to Salisbury, Maryland. So this will be the fourth. Now we're at Pure Inner Farms. They're very, very happy to be there.
Right. And they decorate that up to the cat's ass, man.
Well, I mean, we used to bring in fresh sod and do an outdoor show indoors.
Wow.
And we weren't allowed to do that at Purina Farms. But now they've, according to our president, who just received the award for our Poodle Club of America, it's the first time that the award has been given at the Show Dogs of the Year event for the top national specialty. It's the first time that award has ever been offered, and the Poodle Club won it. So
nice.
Our president, Sue Burge, accepted the award, and she shared with me on the weekend that we're bringing in some sort of green turf this year.
Oh, wow.
I think it's probably a first, and I'm sure it's very expensive. And then we have a fabulous team that brings in, I mean, it'll look like a park.
Right.
It's quite an event.
The photos that I've seen are just incredible. And there's so much history that goes with PCA. And there's so many, and I say this, there's certain breeds, right? And Pekingese. I was talking to David Fitzpatrick about Pekingese and what is it about Pekingese that brings all the best dog people. What is it about poodle and all things poodle that brings all of the just luminaries of the dog world to this breed?
Well, I just feel like it's a classic breed. Certainly somebody that most people of our age consider God, Mrs. James Edward Clark.
Right.
She would call this her Christmas, this PCA week. And so I think that a lot of people respect that. Jackie Hungerland, just like these gigantic personalities in the dog world, the Stevensons, Tom and Ann Stevenson, that have been involved in the Poodle Club of America for all these years, that are the foundation of the society, really, right, and the sport, have had a major influence on. You know, we just recently lost a judge named Betsy Leedy, who was so instrumental in the preservation of black miniature poodles in this country. Mm-hmm. And she died last week.
Wow. I had not heard that.
Yeah. Well, Betsy was, you know, she was an amazing woman. She lived in the, I believe, in Oklahoma. And we just lost her this last week. But she had a dog called Champion Penchant Paladin. Call name was Danny, who was, for so many years, the top producing black miniature in the history of the breed. But there's just been so many. Poodles are just, I think, really, they're just a staple. I mean, there's Goldens, there's Labs, there's poodles. And I always say this, I'm a mentor. And so that's what I generally do at PCA. I have a few other assignments as a member that I accept, but mostly I mentor ringside. I always say, you know, it can be a Labrador, it could be a Chinese Crested, but if somebody says that they're poodly, I think people understand what that means. It means that they have carriage, that they have a good temperament. There's just a meaning that goes along with the word poodly. And so I think it's universal. I think people really relate to poodles.
Right.
Because of that. It's controversial because, you know, I think people have to understand the trims and ignore the trims and just look at the legs and the bones and the station and everything that you expect to judge on another dog.
Right.
But that's a very specific trim. You know, the Continental trim was created for retrieving. So that's why their legs are shaved so they can move through the water and their joints are covered so that they remain warm and their coats should be thick and coarse and water resistant. I mean, that's the correct poodle. And then all the rest of it is fancy and pretty, but the bare bones, you know, the dog has to be sound. There's a really good video that Mrs. Clark did that I could share with you. I don't know if you've seen it.
I would love it if you could share that video because I'll put it with the blog post so that the listeners can see it. That would be great.
Oh, yeah. I put it up a couple of times and somebody else put it up recently. I mean, it's her voice, which, you know, just makes me smile anyway.
Right.
And I was fortunate enough to be a guest at her home at Sea Lark one time when I worked at Tim Brazier's place in Malibu, and we showed the Rimskittle dogs, and that was her kennel name.
Right.
She bred Norwich, and she bred Whippets, she bred poodles. She also bred miniatures, but her miniatures were under the kennel name Surrey. But
right,
the standards and everything else was Rimskittle, I believe.
Yes.
Anyway, so I was at her home one time, and I walked into the kitchen, and there was a photograph of a dog called Sailor that was sired by a dog called Champion Rimskittle Ruffian that she loved. And I was showing him, and it was on her refrigerator. Mm. And as like an 18-year-old kid
right,
walking into God's house and seeing my photograph on her refrigerator, it was pretty awesome. And that was a couple of days after a PCA trip. Then I was there.
Wow.
We were showing Champion Skip Ryan.
That sort of like gave me goosebumps, Brian. That's just so cool.
It happened.
I knew that Tim had shown Mrs. Clark's dogs. I did not know that you would work for Tim. So that is part of the history you left out.
Oh, yeah, no. I worked for Tim since, well, I came to California when I was just out of high school. And my mother never forgave Merripe Wooldridge for picking me up and driving me to California. But she did, and it was my choice. I started out working with Afghan Hounds
mm-hmm.
and Bruce Clark and Stephen Fisher with their Shiloh Kennels, which are hugely successful Afghan stuff. Stephen's now a judge.
Mm-hmm.
He's judged there national and all over the place. And Bruce, they bred, you know, hundreds of champions, I would assume, Afghan Hounds. But I knew them when I was probably 15
okay.
or so. And I mean, I knew I couldn't drive because my mother would drop me off at their house.
Right.
And I would take care of their dogs when they went to the shows. And then Bruce offered me a Spalooky, which was my first champion, a dog called Champion Omen, Brother Love.
Aww.
And I kept him till he was like 16.
Wow.
He was my pet. He lived with me in 5 homes since the time I was a teenager until I, you know, had to put him down.
Wow. Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. The best little country show in California is on Mother's Day weekend in Yuba City. Two Cities Kennel Club hosts their casual country western attire dog show May 10th through 12th at the Yuba Sutter Fairgrounds. We talk all the time here on Pure Dog Talk about the importance of fun matches for practice with our puppies and our young dogs. So the club is offering a B match on Friday, along with the first of 3 days of obedience, rally, and barn hunt. The fun continues with special attractions for veterans on Saturday and a Brood Bitch Classic Sunday to celebrate Mother's Day. Two FSS open shows both days, along with CGC and health clinics, round out the offerings. The premium list is up at infodog.com for more details. Entries close April 24th. And so you primarily worked with miniature poodles, right? When you got involved in poodles yourself.
That's what I bred.
Yeah.
I bred like 60 champion miniature poodles and one toy poodle.
Okay. The pictures I've seen, I remember you with miniatures.
I've been associated with a couple of the top, like really the most beloved miniatures in my lifetime. I would say probably three. The two white girls, Charm, who was my foundation bitch that I bought, whose name was Champion Cherub's Charm of Rendara, bred by Charles Arnold, who just died, and co-bred by Tom Dedini. And I constantly hear from people that she was the reason they got white miniatures or wanted them. And she was the photograph used for the Australian Standard for miniature poodles for years and years and years.
Right.
And then her great-granddaughter, Guy, who was a tremendous show dog, multiple best in show dog, multiple Poodle Club of America best of variety winner. And then Daniel Chavez, who I consider my son. And he, when I retired, he took a couple of my geriatrics and kept them respectfully until their imminent demise and generously shared some of his dogs with me. And my name is on a few of those dogs, but Afton, Champion, and for Avalon, as if. She won Poodle Club of America under Johnny Shoemaker.
Won the breed, right? Not just the variety.
She won best of breed.
Yeah.
Yes. She won the variety under Daniel Augustus, who's like a breed expert. Well, he is a breed expert. And then Johnny Shoemaker awarded her best of variety. She was top miniature poodle in the country.
Right.
I think she won like 14 best in shows in that year, the group of the garden, then we cut her down. She was done. And that's exactly the way I think it should be done. She wasn't shown a day after. She didn't look the part. I hate to see somebody bring up a dog and show it.
Right. Well, and I remember she was lovely. Really a stunning dog. And I think it's interesting because I don't think miniatures get as much recognition. Do you? Like, you see standards and you see occasionally a big winning toy like Timmy's Last Toy that did so well. But I don't often see the miniatures really taking off like that.
It's funny, Laura, in the past, actually, even before I was involved, so I'm talking like the 60s, we had the miniatures were the big variety.
Interesting.
There would be, you know, just hundreds of them. Entered all over the place. But there were a lot of English imports and there was a lot of PRA blindness that devastated the entire variety.
Wow.
And that was before testing.
Mm-hmm.
And they had infiltrated everybody's stuff.
Right.
I mean, they were beautiful and there were tons of them, but I mean, they were wiped out.
Wow.
And so the variety really took a tough turn when PRA really assaulted that variety. And then, you know, it was sort of like kind of normal to breed black and white standards together, but miniatures were very Like black and brown is one gene pool and white is completely different.
Interesting.
And they were never crossed and for the longest time. And then some years back, because of health and some other issues, people felt more liberal about crossbreeding the colors. I remember when I got my foundation bitch from Chuck Arnold, I bought her under the condition that he got two puppies. So I bred her to the top producing miniature poodle of all time, Champion Parade Kiss and Tell, who was the product of black and white breeding.
Interesting.
And so he was black. The mother charm was white. Mm. And Chuck walked into the house. He said, "I've never seen black puppies suckling on a white bitch." I'm like, well.
Broke the color barrier. There you go.
I had people like Betsy Leedy and Maria Azacorbi, the famous Azacorb miniature poodles, who just was an amazing breeder and judge. I mean, they would call them zebras.
And so by crossing those two gene pools, were you able then to get the PRA under control and start building the variety back up?
Yes. Well, I mean, we try to. I mean, it's sort of probably hard to say, but when the West Coast has some of the best breeders, Hingis Dimension, Kathy Poe, certainly, myself, Leslie Simmons, there are some really, really great dedicated breeders to miniature poodles here on the West Coast. And for the most part, most of those dogs have been bred with whites. But just the testing that wasn't available at that time has changed. Once I was involved in breeding, and I think I bred like maybe 11 litters, and I produced all those champions. And granted, I had some advantage, you know, some access to finishing champions.
Right.
But I finished a lot of dogs, and I won a lot of stuff. My kennel name was Avalon,
right.
And there's a bunch of champions out there with that name on them, and a lot of trophies. I was at Palm Springs this last January, and I was looking at the trophy table for the Sand and Sea non-sporting group show, and
right.
I won the first 2 years in a row, back to back.
Right.
And my dog's name is on the trophy, so I know some stuff.
Well, that's why I called and wanted to talk to you. So give me your most favorite, like spine-tingling, hair-raising favorite memory of PCA. Either a big win or I don't know, you tell me. Your best memory of PCA.
Okay, so I'm going to say the most vivid memory that I have from PCA is standing out on that field in Pennsylvania, dripping in sweat. And I think it was me and Richard Guevara sitting in the car because it was so hot, watching Ann Stevenson judge the miniature variety. And it was, she brought it down to champion Bar King Scintilla with Barbara Humphreys and Mark Shanoff with Hello Again of Shailene.
Hmm.
Those are two beautiful type black miniature bitches. And she worked them and she worked them. And I mean, those were just the most amazing handlers and groomers of their time that, you know, we don't see anymore, I feel,
right.
That kind of competition. And it was inevitably Barbara won with Scintilla. And I believe she won the whole specialty under Mrs. Clark that day. And I might be wrong, but I think I'm right because my memory generally serves me well.
Well, yeah, I would think.
It was beautiful. And those are the sort of moments that I think are so impactful. You know, I don't forget them. That's been 30 years.
Yeah. Well, and I think that that's what nationals are for, right? We all go to our breeds national, not because we expect to win, but to have those kind of moments.
Yeah. Well, it was very memorable for me. And I think, I don't know if I shared with you, I did a little post the other day about a little tiny toy bitch that I showed that Mrs. Clark gave a gigantic open class to. But it was interesting. For whatever reason, 4 years in a row, class bitches were awarded Best of Variety at Poodle Club America.
Right.
I think I beat 136 bitches
God.
I went reserve under her that day.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what it was like. But that day was a woman named Diane Artigue, who was a super accomplished woman that showed you know, a lot of top poodles. She wasn't probably known by a ton of people out of her area, but she was certainly a known, respected poodle person. And then Bobby Peebles, who we lost a long time ago, mm-hmm. had a beautiful white bitch that I think he had inbred by, that he had gone winner's bitch with, and under, it was under Frank. And he had Tim Brazier take her back in because he had the top winning toy poodle in the country. And so he showed her, and I just remember the owner was Betty Jo Gallus, who everybody in poodles knows. She was quite a force. And so Bobby did the right thing. He stayed on his special.
Right.
But Tim won the breed with the class system. Was not that great. She was beautiful.
Yeah, well, that's all right. It's a judge that's putting up the dog, right? Be happy.
Then Gary Whitmire won with his incredible, her name was Wheezy. We called her Wheezy. She won the variety from the classes. And then Dennis won with a silver bitch from the classes under Frank Fretwell, who was a Monfret Standard Poodles.
Mm-hmm.
He was an interesting character and a, a famous poodle person. But anyway.
Oh my gosh. So, Brian, I wish you all the joy at PCA. And I know you will have a great time, and have a great time for me, because I'll get there one of these days.
Two Cities Kennel Club and the surrounding community were dramatically impacted by the devastating campfire last fall. The club will hold a two-day raffle at its show to raise funds for a new Yuba County AKC Reunite disaster trailer. Each AKC Pet Disaster Relief trailer is stocked with essential, non-perishable supplies needed to set up and provide safe sheltering options for pets during an evacuation. The tragedy of last year's fires reinforced the need for a trailer in Northern California. To donate items to the raffle or to donate directly to this critically important disaster relief trailer, go to the events section of the Pure Dog Talk Facebook page for contact information. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.